This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, broadcasting live from Worldwide Technology. John Bomarito is here, along with Chuck Wallace, his right-hand man. Bomarito's a great sponsor. And of course, Bomarito hosts the Bomarito 500 at Gateway Motorsports Park. They want to let everybody know that they have 20 new car locations. They have 9 pre-owned car locations. If you're looking for a car, they have the right one for you. We appreciate them being one of our great sponsors. Got a lot of sponsors here at this press conference today. As we speak, Dave Stewart, the man who started Worldwide Technology, is addressing the crowd, and he's talking about how he was the grand marshal for the Bomarito 500 last year, kind of fell in love with it. He's a big car guy, and he's excited that they have a 10-year deal with Gateway Motorsports Park. And Maryville sponsors our phone lines. Each new student is assigned a life coach who is a knowledgeable resource for academic advising, mentoring, campus networking, and career guidance. Go to Maryville.edu for more information. Very shortly, we're going to check in with Rob Raines, talk a little Cardinal baseball. And at 11 o'clock, we're going to talk with Jamie McLennan. He's a former Blues goaltender who's now a very good analyst with TSN. We'll break down that series and all the crazy series going on in the National Hockey League as we speak. Unbelievable what has happened in some of these series. We're still not certain about a game time for Saturday. There's a chance it's an NBC game, a Channel 5 game, at 2 o'clock, but it depends on how these other series end up on Thursday night. So we'll have that update for you very shortly. Let's talk some baseball with Rob Raines. Rob, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. How are you? Thanks.
Very good. Right off the bat, when you left spring training and you saw those arms, and you're a guy who's actually watched these young arms from age 21 on, I'm sure, you had to think, hey, this starting pitching is going to be good. And now you're sitting there with the worst whip in the National League among the rotations, and they have a chance to give up more home runs than any team in the history of baseball overall as a pitching staff. What's going on here?
It's 18 games into the season, 3 starts for most of them. So I'm not panicking by this point in time. I still believe in these guys. I think they're going to get better. I think they've made a few mistakes. I think they've had the unfortunate luck of running into, you know, somebody playing out of his mind, and the Brewers as a team playing very good. I mean, we knew when we looked at that schedule and saw that they played the Brewers 10 times in the first 24 games of the season, that was really going to be a tough challenge. And especially, you know, first 6 of them up there in that ballpark, which is just a hitter's paradise. So I think things, you know, tend to average out over time, and I'm not ready to panic about any of these guys yet. I think they're all still really good.
All right, what do you think the forecast is for Carlos Martinez? Do you wait a little bit longer to make sure he has arm strength and bring him back as a starter, or do you get him back here as soon as possible?
Well, I don't think they're going to rush him. I really don't. I mean, I think he's still just throwing bullpen sessions. He hadn't even started throwing batting practice yet. So, I mean, you're probably looking, I still think, at least a month before he's going to be ready to pitch, even if he's coming back in a bullpen situation. So, you know, We'll see how his shoulder responds. I think that's what they want to see. Is, I mean, I think, you know, perfect world, they know he's a guy that should be a starting pitcher, but it's just how can that wear and tear on his shoulder hold up? I mean, they don't want him to be another starting pitcher that can come out there and pay, you know, pitch 5 innings and then have to come out of the game because his shoulder's hurt, and then he has to miss a start because his shoulder's hurt. So they just want to figure out what's going to be better for the long term for him physically and what they can count on him doing so they don't have to keep, you know, yo-yoing back and forth on that. So I don't think they're making that decision yet for probably till at least the end of the month as far as what path he's going to follow, because at this point he's just building up, you know, arm strength like you would, you know, first part of spring training.
What's the long-term plan for Ryan Helsley?
I think he could, again, I think he's a guy who could do both. I think, you know, at least a year or so ago, they kind of looked at him as the next Jordan Hicks. I mean, as far as, you know, hard to say a guy's 22 and you're saying he's the next Jordan Hicks. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy who can throw 100. He's hit 100 a couple times last night, especially if he's coming out of the bullpen. So I think long term, again, it's all kind of, none of these decisions are made in a vacuum because it depends on what the needs are. But if your starting pitching is as good as they think it is and as I think it is, you know, and they're set in that areas, I think the gateway to have him contribute to the big league club, especially this year, is in the bullpen.
What are you hearing about Alex Reyes as we speak? It seems like this is going to be maybe a longer stint in Memphis than we first thought.
Yeah, I think he's been better. I mean, I think he pitched two innings the other day, and apparently, didn't give up a run. I know he walked a couple of people, but Reyes has always been a guy. You look back at his minor league career, control has never been his biggest attribute. He's always thrown a lot of pitches and had deep counts and walk guys and stuff. So I think that's something that they're working to refine, even without all of the elbow and back issues and things like that. So I think it's going to be a work in progress. I think he'll be back here at some point. I think he's another guy, too, they're going to have to figure out. I mean, their whole goal, for this year was to get him through the year healthy and whatever role that envisioned, him keeping. And, again, he's another guy that if they decide here at some point in the next couple of 3 weeks, we've got issues in the rotation, they could, leave him in Memphis long enough to get him stretched out to bring him up here into the rotation. I mean, the one thing they didn't want to do with him was start out the season in the rotation, have him get to 100 innings by August, and then be done for the year. So, they can kind of monitor that a little bit now because of him being in Memphis, and maybe by June 1st he will be in the rotation. We'll just have to see.
Does it make any sense to flip-flop John Gant and get him into the starting rotation?
Possibly. In place of Hudson, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly. Wouldn't surprise me. Also, they got these off days coming up. They could skip Hudson, start again this next time through the rotation. I mean, they still believe in him, too. I mean, he's another guy. Two of his three starts have been in Milwaukee, which is not, as I say, a really easy assignment. So I'm not ready to, push the panic button on him either by any means. I think, he's going to get better. I mean, these things are just, work in progress kind of thing when you have young pitchers. It's not automatic that they're going to have immediate success when they get to the big league level or get into their rotation for the first time. So I think they're going to be patient. I mean, luckily, they're not, 0-15 or something like that in the standings. And I told you before, I don't even try to look at the standings in April. So, I just think it's, let's get through April and see where we are.
They had to put Harrison Bader on the disabled list. I wonder how healthy Tyler O'Neill is as we speak.
Well, he's on the injury list too. They put him on there yesterday.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're going to be missing both these guys for...
I think Bader would be back before O'Neill is, if I had to guess, because they can backdate that move till Sunday, since Sunday was the first day that he played. So you're looking about another week or so for him being out. And I think that was just primarily because they didn't want to play short again today, especially if they had some other questions on the lineup and stuff like that. So, that's why they brought Thomas up and put him on the injury list. They probably, in retrospect, should have done that a couple of days ago. But it doesn't change the timing of O'Neill's return. It just means they had to play short Bader's return, but it just means they had to play short a couple of days. So, but I think it sounds like there's some. He said it was better yesterday, from what reports I read out of Milwaukee. But anytime you're dealing with a nerve issue in your arm, as we've seen with other players, it can be a serious thing.
So you believe that O'Neill? Who do you think has a better chance of being 100% healthy sooner?
Bader.
Okay.
I think my guess, he probably could play this weekend, but they just wanted to protect themselves, the next couple of days and not play short.
What about Marcell Ozuna? I was thinking about this last night. It's almost like what Charlie Spoonauer used to tell Scott Highmark. I'm not sure if you're going to be able to lock this guy down, but you just make sure you score more points than the guy you're guarding scores, or the plus minus in hockey. I mean, is that the way we should just look at it? That we're going to have to live with this. Bottom line is, the guy's an unbelievable hitter, and he in general, he'll be a plus because of what he produces offensively.
That's what their hope is. Yeah, I think, if he hits 35 homers and drives on 100 runs, I think you can live with, below average defense in left field. Because especially, again, you're late in the ball game, you get the head, you get him out of there and put somebody in there that's a better defender. So, I think that he's obviously had a great, great week here. I mean, it started with, kind of after he had his little pratfall in the outfield, he's just been terrific out there. So, yeah, that's the kind of guy they want to see and the guy they thought they were getting from Miami when they made that trade. So, he's got 7 home runs and, four of them in the last 3 days. So, they hope that production can keep going for certain.
What percentage of pitches are called by the manager as opposed to called by by Yadier Molina?
I think it's zero.
Okay, so it's all Molina.
Yeah, I think so. I
mean,
unless there's some specific like a pitch out or something like that, or play, have a play on or something. I think the actual pitch selection is all Yachty.
Your impressions of manager Schiltz, what would be something you'd think he's doing a great job with? What would be something, he needs to improve on this? He's a young manager. What do you think?
I think his communication level is excellent. I think he has a great relationship with the players. I think there's a free and open dialogue about what's going on internally within that clubhouse and within that team. I think he's got a great rapport with his coaching staff. I think he takes their advice and listens to it and considers it. And he knows the ultimate decisions, fall on his desk, but he's not afraid to make those decisions. He's not shy about making tough decisions, even though he doesn't have a lot of big league experience and of course never played the game professionally. He's comfortable with who he is and what he knows. And as he always says, he's comfortable with what he doesn't know too. When he needs to ask for advice and suggestions, he's not above doing that. I just think it comes with experience. I mean, he's managed a lot of games in the minor leagues, but it is different at the big league level. You have different goals as a manager in the minor leagues, so things you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to do as far as, bringing along players and developing players. And obviously in the big leagues, your one goal is to win. So, I think that he's still – so it's still on the job training, but I think he's done a very good job so far, and I think he's only going to get better.
Bill DeWitt III did not seem real enthused when I brought up Dallas Keuchel's name yesterday. That's not going to happen with the Cardinals, do you believe?
I have heard no indications or no discussion about either him or Kimbrel, either one.
And then offensively, you have Matt Carpenter. This is the interesting news, is the Cardinals are still a game above 500, and you have Carpenter at 203, Goldschmidt at 227, and then you have Molina at 227. Fowler is probably going to be where he's at now at 260. But you have a lot of guys who probably will have better numbers as the season evolves, and you're still over 500. You're kind of evaluation of the offense.
Yeah, well, if you're going to get that kind of production, that kind of average out of Carpenter and Goldschmidt for the entire season, it doesn't really matter what else you do because you're not going to be good enough to win. They're obviously the two linchpins of that offense, and how they go is going to determine how this offense goes. And I think they made that clear when they put those two guys at the top of the lineup. So they're banking on those guys being better than they've been to this point, and I think they will be. I think it's just patience is a tough thing in sports, especially there's nothing in sports and like the overreaction theater the first couple weeks of a baseball season.
That's
people want immediate results. Oh my God, bench this guy, trade this guy, whatever, release this guy. And it's just, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you've got 140 something games to go. Let's see where we are a couple months from now. And I know that people, it's cliche that, the games that you win in April count the same as the games you win in September. And you can't, people always say you can't lose a pennant race or you can't win a pennant race in April, but you can lose it. So, I think that there is some truth to that. But as I say, I think the whole key to the start of the season is just not to go, 0-15 or whatever.
Absolutely. Rob, great stuff. If somebody wants to read you and get your game story each night, which is not a game story, but kind of a notes with opinions and great stats, how do they do it?
It's on Twitter, at Rob Raines, RobRaines, or the website's stlsportspage.com.
Good stuff. Thank you, sir. We really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Frank. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Rob Raines joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. He's instant offense. A little bit later in the program, we'll talk with Jamie McLennan. He's a former Blues goalie. And by the way, earlier in the broadcast, I don't mean to disparage Jake Allen, who's done some very good things in St. Louis. What I'm trying to emphasize is that Jordan Binnington was unbelievable, and a normal goaltender would have given up 5 goals last night. I have a lot of respect for Jake Allen, who's done great things. But my point is Binnington has been off the charts sensational.
Absolutely true. He has made the big save when they've needed it. He has made a save that, again, like you said, Jake Allen wasn't very sharp at times, and he would not have been able to hold that lead or keep that game at 1-1.
And most goalies couldn't.
Yeah, right, and that is so true. He is playing so over the top, Binnington is right now. I mean, this is one of the best streaks of goaltending that the organization has seen, and you can go back since Grant Fuhr played in 70 games, or Cujo had that great series with Felix Potvin against the Maple Leafs. I mean, that's how good Jordan Binnington is. This is an historical type situation with Binnington, not just a flash in the pan.
Can't use his stat anymore, though. He has lost back-to-back games.
That is true, but you can't. Again, that one you can't put in that on.
No, not at all.
The reality was they weren't good enough in the last 10 minutes of the third period, where they lost the game. Blues were very good in the first 10 minutes of the contest. could not convert. If they convert one of those, I think they hit two posts in there, Frank. They were outshot them 7-0 at one point. If one of those goes in, the Blues win the game. It was that simple.
Yeah.
But the last 10 minutes, they were getting outskated. They were getting outworked. Winnipeg had the momentum. They took it into overtime. On both goals, when you look at the plays, the tying goal by Winnipeg, Petro decided at the red line he was going to take a shot and try and check somebody, missed on the check. It created an odd man rush down the other way. They scored. On the game-winning goal in overtime, Colton Parayko got caught, got spun around, and by that time it was too late. Odd man rush at that point, and the Blues lose on that one going in. And Bennington couldn't have done anything about either one of them.
Absolutely. All right. Before we go to break, quick word about Lakeside Roofing. Their reputation is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, and competitive pricing. Lakeside Roofing features the finest quality roofing materials, and they provide expert installation. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. Maryville sponsors our phone lines. Go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific institution. And a quick word about the Gatesworth, finest in senior living. If looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa, we recommend the Gatesworth. One McKnight Place, the answer is always yes when you call down to the front desk. We'll take a short timeout. We'll take some texts and some phone calls when we come back. Jamie McLennan, TSN at 11, broadcasting live from Worldwide Technology Park.